From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes. The history of Peter Pan Seafoods spans the history of industrial fishing in Alaska. In 1898, Alaska Portland Packers, the company that would eventually become Peter Pan, staked a claim at the junction of the Wood and Nooshigak Rivers for a salmon cannery at the site that would become the central business district of the city of Dillingham. Processing sites in King Cove, Port Moeller, and Valdez are equally central to their communities. So there was plenty of Alaskan angst when, in 1979, after 80 years as an American enterprise, Peter Pan was sold to a multinational seafood giant based in Japan. And, indeed, despite high standards and the resources of what would become the world's largest seafood company, Peter Pan struggled as a cog in the bigger machine. In fact, when Maruha Nichiro announced its sale of Peter Pan late last year, it said it expected to lose $28 million on the deal. But Alaskans are optimistic about the prospects for a new Peter Pan. KDLG's Izzy Ross has this report.
The deal means the company is now vertically integrated, so all stages of production and marketing, usually operated separately, are now under one owner. It also means the company is under American ownership. One of the three buyers is Northwest Fish. Its owner, Roger May, is the president of New Peter Pan. McKinley Capital Management, a private equity group, is another. McKinley chairman and CEO Rob Gillum says the buyers see the deal as an investment in sustainably harvested Alaska seafood, but they agree that Peter Pan needs to up its marketing game.
The best fish in the world isn't any good if you can't get it to people who want to buy it, right? So that was really critical.
That's where Northwest Fish comes in. It's a fish seller based in Seattle. Gillum says combining sales and production will help them reach more customers. Peter Pan has struggled in recent years, in part due to competition from other processors and lower production and harvests outside of Bristol Bay. Gillum says the new owners want to harness the unpredictability of the fishing industry.
You will see our focus on being a vertically integrated seafood company. So that means that we will have processing capabilities that will go upscale, value-added. We have distribution and sales capabilities.
Gillum says the pandemic was extremely difficult for the seafood industry, but he says that demand for sustainably harvested seafood has increased and that the company plans to meet that demand.
You got to put more pounds through the plants. You put more fish through the plant. When you do, you get more efficient. The costs come down. That benefits everybody. It means you pay fishermen a little bit more. It means you can provide more benefits to the people who work there. It means you can lower the cost against which you can sell your product into the market.
Gillum says the new owners want to strengthen Peter Pan's diminished reputation with its fleet, and they expect to announce other changes as the summer fishing season approaches.
Change always scares people, so I just want to be really clear. Can you expect change with your question? The answer is absolutely you can expect change. But when you're part of a team that hasn't won very many games, winning more games is change, and that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
The company says it will continue to operate facilities in Dillingham, King Cove, Port Muller, and Valdez. Its headquarters are in Bellevue, Washington. Gary Hennig is the city administrator for King Cove. He says they're happy about new ownership of a company that has long been a part of the community after its presence there was threatened by new plants elsewhere in the region.
The last few years, we knew that there were issues going on, that Peter Pan was struggling in part just because of the fishing seasons that we've been having, in part because of the big investments over in Falls Pass with two other competitors that started moving product away.
King Cove has seen its tax revenue fall as Peter Pan has struggled, and that problem has been compounded by the pandemic. Now, he says, the Peter Pan sale is a chance for the community to start again.
We're optimistic that new owners will have a new attitude, new market potential, and that we can get King Cove back to the type of community that we had with a pretty thriving economic base up until a couple years ago.
The sale was finalized on December 31st, 2020. The exact price was not disclosed. In Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross.
I got a chance to sit down on the phone with Roger May of Northwest Fish and now president of the new Peter Pan Seafoods. He emphasized Peter Pan's unique ability to do something we've been talking about in Alaska for decades, to perform value-added processing right here in Alaska.
So many facilities don't have the ability to knock down and add that ultimate value. We do, and we're going to continue focusing on being able to do more and more and more in that arena. You know, Copper River Salmon Run, became a great story, and we were involved in that from the beginning. It was creating that same thing, that buzz. And so more we can turn that Alaskan product as a whole into the same story as the Copper River Salmon, it's a phenomenal, you know, limited supply, and you should be special, and it's for enjoying. It's for people who want to have something that's the best, and we want to advertise and promote that not only is it the best quality, the best flavor, the best managed fishery, the best marketed fishery, and we're supporting Alaska, local communities, and, you know, the Buy America movement. You know, a little bit of negative sentiment on China and overseas imports, and, you know, the definitely upped demand and wishes from, you know, the Targets and the QFCs and the Safeways and the Walmarts, Fred Meyers, you name it, to actually get a once frozen domestic Alaskan product. It is huge. And you're doing so many different things by accomplishing that. You're not exporting jobs. You're branding Alaska. You're putting a once frozen higher demand. You have the tax money for the labor is getting left in the United States and in Alaska and in the local communities. It's endless, but it all starts with putting the right products in the right place in the domestic American market for a once frozen Alaskan story that people are going to appreciate it the most.
Well, does that market exist? Nick Mink talked to us about the difference in quality between a fish that's processed and frozen once here in Alaska and one that is frozen in Alaska, shipped to Asia, thawed, reprocessed, and refrozen and shipped back. But to the consumer, those two products look very similar on the shelf. How do the costs compare for those two methods? And do you think the consumer is ready to pay a little more for a once frozen product?
No, first of all, on your wonderful analogy there and scenario that was very accurate, you forgot also the fact that most of it comes back pumped full of chemicals or water. Tri-polys, which absorb, so you can take something and add quite a bit of water weight to it. But the reality is you might pay 50 cents a pound more per pound. Well, people are eating, you know, 4-ounce portions. That's 12 and a half cents. So are you willing to pay 12 and a half cents for something that's, you know, frozen right away, once frozen, you know, knowingly that there's no chemicals pumped into it, and, you know, you're supporting Alaska and our own country. So to me, once people understand that, I don't believe any consumer I've had, if it's explained that way, is going to say, no, I'd rather pay, you know, 12 and a half cents less for my portion I'm going to have, and God only knows what it's been through.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
And by
support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
It is McKinley Capital's Nanook Investment Fund that has invested in the new Peter Pan. It's a private investment fund that specifically invests in Alaska. The fund is anchored by a $100 million allocation from the Alaska Permanent Fund Corporation, or APFC. Here again is Rob Gillum.
We're very grateful to have the APFC as an anchor investor in our Nanook Investment Fund. Their goals are return-centric. And as an Alaskan, I would imagine that every Alaskan would want that. That the permanent fund's investments are focused on return because we obviously all benefit from that return. Some local funds that focus on a geographic region, such as ours, may also have other criteria about economic stability or job creation or things like that. We do not. Ours is a focus on the opportunities in Alaska are as good as there are anywhere else. Peter Pan's a different story, though. Peter Pan, we believe absolutely, amongst the many goals for the company is to listen, learn, and focus on our stakeholders in each of the communities in which we have significant operations. It's a storied company, number one, with a long and proud tradition. You hear terms, even for people who didn't work in Peter Pan, to say things like, I bleed Peter Pan blue, and that has, quite frankly, a pretty good set of bones, if you want to call it that. They have great employees who do a great job processing or canning, as the case may be, depending on the location. And we saw an opportunity to build upon that and create a American and Alaskan-owned, vertically integrated global seafood company that is able to capitalize on wild and sustainably harvested Alaskan seafood.
Well, that's the report. Thanks very much to KDLG's Izzy Ross. Also to Rob Gillum and Roger May for daring to speak to me. Good fishing, everybody.
You can fly. Oh, a pirate's life is a wonderful life, a roving over the sea.